Amen. Love it so much. Preach the word. What a great blessing. And I'm just encouraged to see each of you here tonight. It's always lovely to see people's faces smiling, glad to be here. And we rejoice in that as well. And we are a ministry that loves to preach and proclaim the word of God. And tonight we find ourselves in the book of Jonah. So if you have your Bibles, by the way, we have Bibles up front, in back, and all around. We'd love for you to have a Bible to follow with us in our study tonight. If you'd like to take a Bible, maybe you have one, but maybe you have a friend that would like to have one. We'd love to put a Bible in somebody's hand. You pray about that and give it as a gift. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we've got a great opportunity in the days we live to see people, as Victor prayed when we opened, to see people get saved and to see those that are wayward to come back. In the book of Jonah, we're looking at a prophet that God used mightily. He was a prophet, it said, in 1 Kings, and had been able to proclaim the truths of God. And God said, I have a mission for you to do. It's an incredible mission, opportunity of a lifetime. And he had the opportunity to say yay or say nay. God says go. Jonah said no. And that's where we find ourselves as a result of him saying no. But it encourages each of us today, because all of us are making decisions, and even the songs that are prepared, they're prepared because Hardy's gone through the scriptures and the word and what songs would tie in with one that needs to come back to the Lord. And I think you see that clearly in our worship time together. In chapter 2 this evening, we find ourselves in chapter 2. And the title of the message is Jonah's Prayer in the Power of God. We actually have to start in the last verse of chapter 1. So in chapter 1, verse 17 is where we'll start. And the Bible says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried out, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. And then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, and yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The waters surround me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. And yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. I know you'd love to see that video. Father in heaven, thank you for your word, for worship, for prayer. Thank you for the fellowship of your people. Thank you for what you have already begun to do tonight. And yet, Lord, there's a Jonah in all of our lives at some point or another. And yet, there is a great deliverer. So, Father, we commit tonight to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So tonight we have the blessing of going through and learning about a great Old Testament missionary. And God has called each one of us to be missionaries. At the conclusion of our Bible study tonight, we'll end a little bit earlier, but we also have missionaries here that are headed to Guatemala in a few weeks, and they're going to share with us what ways God has used them and what doors he may be opening up and how we can pray as well. So plenty of application. Tonight in chapter 2, as we read those verses, it speaks about Jonah's despair, Jonah's dedication, then finally his deliverance. For those that weren't able to be with us last week, we saw in chapter 1, in those first 17 verses, that God has called Jonah, and his name means dove. And yet in many ways, he's not acting very dovely, if that's even a word. God says, I have a task for you to do, and that is to go to Nineveh and to proclaim the gospel to the people there, to proclaim the good news, to proclaim God. He decides he doesn't want to do that, and we see there's a progression. And there's something right up front that we must understand, that there is an application for all of us. As soon as God tells us to go do something and we say no, our next step is a downward step. So for Jonah, he went down to Joppa. Then he went down to the dock. Then he went down to the ship. Then he went down into the lower parts of the ship. And then he went down in despair. And then later on, he went down into the ocean. And then he went down into the belly of the fish. And it's a downward spiral. Your first step, your first saying no to God, the consequences are severe. And God is helping us understand that tonight. When he was on this ship, the ship was in the midst of a storm. We see several ways that God worked rather miraculously. God miraculously sent a storm. God miraculously selected Jonah when they drew lots. God was in charge of that. God allowed Jonah to go into the sea, but he spared his life. Jonah was actually caught by a great fish, and the great fish spit Jonah out on dry land. And we see an entire city later on being submissive to God. We see a plant growing. We see a worm consuming it. We see this blazing wind sent. All of this is God working miraculously and incredibly. We must say right now, God is working in your life. And God will allow in your life and in my life some very difficult circumstances. They will come our way. Everything that comes our way has passed through God. As believers, we need to understand that and hold on to that. He's sovereign. We don't like it. It's not right. It's not fair. Listen, God is in control, and he allows things to happen out of our control, but he's in control. These men on the ship were pagans, and they didn't know why the storm was there, and they each sought and called out to their own pagan god, but no response. Of course, the pagan god isn't going to answer it. And they said to Jonah down in the bottom, the captain said, what are you doing? You sluggard, you sleeper, get up. We're in the midst of a storm. And Jonah confessed that he is a runaway prophet. He's a rebellious prophet. Jonah said, this storm that you have, it's because of me. And these pagans realized that you serve the God that created everything. You just told us your God created everything. Our God, like the God Dagon, they believed in a sea god and other things. They had individual gods. But your God is the God of creation. Your God is in charge of everything. And your God has allowed this to happen. And you're telling us to throw you over. And that's the God we don't want to face that consequences. So they got and they rowed harder and harder and harder, figuring that we can beat this. And they couldn't. And they called out to God. There was these pagans came to God through a stubborn prophet that didn't really want to have much to do with them. God gets his work done despite us. He just gets his work done. We have the opportunity to participate. They threw Jonah overboard. They called out to God. They made sacrifices. They made vows. They wanted not to upset this true and this living God. And they had to see all of a sudden this big mouth coming up out of the ocean. We don't know. I mean, people say it's a whale. The Bible doesn't say it's a whale. It just says it's a great fish. There was great rebellion and a great fish. And there's also great deliverance today, as we see in the text here. We looked at verse 17. And it says, now the Lord, of chapter 1, verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. We have to recall back that for those that don't want to believe the account of Jonah, I think it's fascinating. I have no trouble believing that. You shouldn't either. If you can believe the first few words of the Bible, in the beginning God created, if you can just believe that first part of it, you're good. It'll carry you through life. In the beginning, God created. He can do anything. It's marvelous what he did and what he does. And so when we see that Jesus in his ministry in Matthew chapter 12, verse 39 to 41, he's being attacked by the religious leaders, and he answered him and said, "An evil and an adulterous generation, you're always seeking a sign, but no sign will be given to you except the sign of the prophet Jonah." We stop right there. If Jesus is using the account, not the story, because many times stories can be fictional or true. I always like the account of Jonah, not the story, the account. Makes it really clear. It's accountable. It's there. It's legitimate. The account of Jonah. Jesus refers to it. If Jesus refers to it, then we're all good to know that. I mean, he's the creator. He made that great fish to come. He's in charge of it. This fish may have been made in the very beginning. Who knows how God works? I'm sure it's not some little random fish that happened to be there when a body was thrown over. It was all synchronized by God, all set up. It's your time, great fish. Go get my prophet. Don't swallow too hard. But it said in Matthew 12:39-41, no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And the men of Nineveh will rise in judgment with the generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here, and it was Jesus. He's right here with us. And the greatest sign that we have is still the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you love those people you love, when you're serving them, when they're having questions and you're having dialogues, and many times someone will say to you, "Well, I just need a sign from God. I just need a sign from God." You might quickly just say, "God has given you that sign. I'm sorry you haven't recognized it." But Jesus says the greatest sign is his death, burial, and resurrection. It stands today as the greatest sign for all humanity to believe in the existence of God, our living Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus would say in John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, "Truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." I believe every sign is to draw us to Jesus Christ, to draw us to the cross of Christ, to humble ourselves before him. If we look again and see in chapter 2 and in verse 1, it tells us Jonah began to pray. And I want to speak about prayer tonight. And then the scriptures that we have 10, usually we go one right after another, but we're going to kind of take this as a prayer to God, because he's praying to God. So we're invited to this prayer. Now, you know, and I know that Jonah's not in the belly of the whale with an iPad or a writing tablet or anything. He's writing this account after it has taken place. So he's bringing us back into the time that he was in the belly of the whale. What is going on during that time? So he had rebelled against God. He says, "I'm finished. Throw me over." For him, it was an attempted suicide. "I'm going to end my life." God says, "No, you're not. No, you're not. You have work to do. You're my appointed prophet." And many times in our life, we're brought to the brink of despair. And there are times where you don't know if you want to continue to live. If that's the case, we want to help you, because God is in charge and God does want you. So if you are in that place of great despair, don't be alone. Reach out. We're here to help, and others are there to help as well. But many times what I may think is my breaking point, God knows better. God knows better. And God is able to do abundantly beyond all we can ask or think, according to the riches in Christ Jesus. You have experienced in your life, God has taken you farther in your life, in your walk with him, than you could have ever imagined. If you think back when you're first saved or started walking with God, and think of what he has done and what he is doing now. So I want to take some what would be considered lessons in prayer from Jonah. Jonah, teach me. God, teach me through your holy word today, through this ministry that you were ministering to Jonah. He was one that was going to, again, accomplish the greatest revival recorded in the Bible, going to Nineveh. The entire city was saved. It was the largest city at that time. Some say larger than Babylon. It was a huge city. And God wanted to save them. Jonah didn't, because they were wicked people and they did wicked things to his own people and to the nation Israel. Terrible things. We spoke about a few of them last week, but in detail, it's far too ugly and far too graphic the way they took the lives of so many of them. And Jonah says, they're not deserving of you. They're not deserving of your love. They're not deserving of life after death. They're deserving of hell. And I'm not going to participate in seeing any of them be saved, because I know who you are. You're a merciful God. You're a loving God. I just know what you'll do. You'll save them. And I don't want them to be saved. You may think that's, wow, Jonah. But perhaps in your life, you might have had somebody that you really don't want to share heaven with. You might have unfortunately, carelessly told someone to go to a place where the devil is going to live forever. Because you were mad, because you're angry. You don't want to do that. God wants to work. He says that he's wanting to save people. That's why he died on the cross. He said he's patient in that regard. So the first thing is, Jonah believed God for his deliverance. And I must ask today, do you believe God to deliver you out of whatever situation you're in? Is God able to deliver you? You know that he's delivered other people. You know he delivered Jonah. You know he's worked powerfully in other people's lives. But you might think your life is different and your situation is different right now. In verse 1 of, in verse 1, you'll notice, and then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. His God. He believed his God. He believed his God could deliver him. Verse 6, it tells us, I went down to the moorings of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me and forever. And yet you have brought my life from the pit. O Lord, my God. God wants to deliver you and deliver me. Whatever you're in, whatever you're facing right now, you may feel checkmate, I'm trapped. God is our great deliverer, because he must be spoken about as his God and my God. You would say tonight, dear God, my God, dear God, I need your help. Lord, nobody else can help me. No other human being has the capacity to help me in the way that I need help right now. Only you can help me. And so, God, I want to call out to you. So the first thing we're seeing, again, is this prayer of Jonah. What is his heart like? What is he praying? What is he thinking? Again, he's been down in the belly. So when he's writing this, if you can imagine, he's in the belly of this great fish. That's what the scriptures say. And he's sinking down to the moor. I mean, this fish, who knows how deep and how high. He's there. He is alive. He didn't die. He is alive in this great fish. And he's recording to us his communication with the Lord. Remember, he wanted to die. He was done with it. I'm finished. And God says, no, you're not. And God saved him. Number two. Again, things to think about regarding this prayer. Jonah, the first one, believed God for deliverance. He also, Jonah believed God would hear his prayers. Verse 2, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried out, and you heard my voice. This is important for us to understand, because we will cry out in desperation, and then you're going to get challenged in your own mind and your heart. Do you think God really heard that prayer? Do you think God really cares? I mean, who are you? Who are you to pray to God? God is busy. You think your situation? I mean, think of the world right now. I mean, he's occupied around the world with so many others with greater needs. That is a flat-out lie from hell itself. God is absolutely concerned with each and every person. He says, I made you. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. He says, marvelous are the works. I knit you together in your mother's womb. He's known us since conception. He's aware of everything. He tells us that Every tear that has fallen from my cheek, he's grabbed it and he has it. And he's kept in his inventory every one of your tears as well. He says that he knows our thoughts. And he knows what we'll say before we ever say it. He's acquainted with all of our ways. This is our God, and he hears every prayer. When you pray, you might think those words that you just spoke just kind of went up and then evaporated into the atmosphere. That's not true. Every one of your prayers are before the throne of God. Before the throne of God, they're there. In Revelation, it talks about the prayers of the saints that are there. It says it's a sweet-smelling aroma. The great devotion that you show to our great God is your great dependency upon him and your prayers. We don't make great prayers. We pray to a great God. He cried. And this word cry, it's interesting because searching it out a little bit, we learned in some other places of scriptures, the psalmist even speaking of my pillow was wet with tears. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. A broken and contrite heart, the Lord will never turn away. Maybe, just maybe, we're not desperate enough yet. I can say that about me. I can say that there's times in my life I'm more prideful than desperate. I'm more determined than I am desperate. And God will say, then go ahead. Go do your determination for a while. And when I realize I'm failing, he says, you're desperate. You want me. I'm the only one that can help you. Jesus says, apart from him, we can do nothing. It's a hard lesson to learn. And relearn. I have taken that class over and over and over again. Oh, God. How much do you really want God to work? How much do you want him to work? We want him to work, but how desperate? How much? May I ask you to consider this starting today forward? Perhaps you've stopped really praying intensely for a person you know you love. Could be someone related to you. Many times it is. You love them. But you've stopped praying because you have prayed for a long time and nothing's happened. Nothing that you can see. Nothing visible to your eyes. As a matter of fact, the person you're praying for has become more rebellious and more obnoxious. And more difficult. It's like, forget it then. Don't forget. Don't. Because God hasn't forgotten them. He wishes that none would perish, but all would come to everlasting life. If that's the heart of God, it should be our heart as well. So we talked about Jonah believed God, that God would deliver him. We said that Jonah, number two, believed God, that God hears our prayers. The third thing is Jonah believed God was bringing the difficult circumstances. Now that's hard. I don't want to believe that. Jonah believed that God was bringing the difficult circumstance. Verse 3, for you cast me into the deep. Notice that the word you is capital. He's not speaking about the crew members. He's speaking about those, the one who had authority over the crew members. It's the Lord. Again, if you look in verse 3, for you, capital U, the Lord. Lord, you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the floods surrounded me, and all your billows and your waves passed over me. God made the billows and God made the waves pass over me. God can use and has used wicked people to make our lives miserable. But God has also used our beloved believers and Christian people to make our lives miserable as well. You know, when we're going through this 10-verse chapter and we're hearing how Jonah is putting together the words to help us understand what was going on in his heart, what he was facing, you must realize that David had already written the Psalms. And we would realize that Jonah, as a prophet, had much of those Psalms in his heart. Think of how many psalms that you have in your heart. And you know, when you're in a crisis and a desperate situation, you're not looking how to formalize just the right perfect prayer. You're just like Peter. Lord, save me. God, I need your help right now. Lord, help me. God, help me. And many times, it's the word that's in our heart at that desperate time. And you're going through it and you say, God, you'll never forsake me. God, you love me. God, you're for me. Who can separate me, God, from the love? Your love. God, you using scripture just comes up from your heart. Well, let me share a few psalms that I believe were probably in the heart of Jonah. Psalm 42, verse 7, it says, deep calls into the deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. This is a psalmist. Think of what Jonah's saying. In Psalm 18, verses 3 through 7, I'll read just a portion. In my distress, the psalmist says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. I cried out to the Lord. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Psalm 88, 1 through 7, just a portion. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ears to my cry, for my soul is full of troubles and my life draws near to the grave. I am counted with those who have gone down to the pit. I'm like a man who has no strength, adrift amongst the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave. These are psalms. The word of God is in his heart. And at this time when the word of God is in his heart and he's become desperate and he realizes, God, you allowed this to happen. I thought I was in control. I thought I had the capacity to say, I'm finished. I'm done. I'm ending it. And then you brought this marvelous creation of yours around to give me a 3-day tour, but to bring my heart before the throne of God for the purposes of God. The fourth thing would be Jonah believed only God could rescue him from this situation. Only God could. I know you know this, but I'll repeat it again. There are no vacancies in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's the only one. People say, well, I need a group of counselors. My friends, perhaps if you're making a decision, that's true. But when you're in a desperate state and you're desperate, you need God and God alone. He's the only one that's going to help in this desperate, needy, difficult situation. He knows you. He knows me. Verse 4, it says, Then I said, I've been cast out of your sight, and yet, look at this, and yet I will look again towards your holy temple. Is that not what we heard in Revelation 2, where the church at Ephesus said, look at all the things that we've done. We've kept the word of God and we've kept the influences of ungodliness coming. And God says, that's true. Jesus said, that's right. But one thing is really sad here, and that is that you left your first love. He didn't say you lost it. You left it. You have a choice. You've moved away from that first love. Repent and then remember and return again to that loving relationship that he wants to have with you. Look again. My friends, it indicates, of course, it's a second look. You're looking again. That means there's already been one. But for us as believers, we look again and again and again and again and again. We keep looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Return to his heart again. Tell him again. And what he wants to hear from you and from me, when I return to him again, what he wants to hear is, God, not my will, but your will be done. Your will be done. Verse 6, along the same idea of believing only God could rescue him from the situation. Verse 6, you'll notice, I went down to the moorings of the mountains. So he's in this great fish. And the earth with its bars closed in, and you have brought up my life from the pit. Oh, Lord, my God. He praised the Lord for saving him before it actually happened. He was in the belly, but he was started to praise God for what he was going to do. So you're praying. And you're praying desperately. And now you've been renewed to pray all the more. And you say, God, forgive me for just slacking off. I want to be diligent. I want to pray. God, you've brought me low, and I realize that you're the only person. And so, God, I pray again. And as you pray, start to not only pray and intercede, but start to be thankful. God, I thank you that it is your will. It is your will that none would be lost. It is your will. I'm praying for their salvation. It is your will. The scriptures tell us that. The scriptures tell us that his blood was shed for the entire world. For the entire world, God, I just want to praise you. God, you will save them. That's who you are. You are that deliverer. You're the one we go to when we pray. You're the one that hears our prayers. You're the one that allows difficult situations so that you'll capture our hearts again for you. And then we see here in the fifth thing is Jonah remembered the Lord in his distress. Notice verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. When my soul fainted. In a sense, it's when I was ready to give up that fainting, I remembered the Lord in my distress. You experience pressures, you do that right now, and the stress. Let's be honest, many times, that intense stress and pressure that's happening in your life, unfortunately, it causes us to ignore God instead of being drawn to God. It causes us to move away. It causes us many times to fight more in the flesh than in the spirit. He is the one who can help you, the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to help. Again, in verse 7, when my soul fainted, what the Lord is looking is I surrender all. Jonah said, I'm finished. I can't take it anymore. I'm quit. I'm spent. It's over. That's what it means when my soul fainted. He was in panic and he was overwhelmed. But it caused him to remember the Lord. It caused him to remember the Lord. Can you maybe in your own mind right now think of a time where you were in that situation, you were desperate and despairing, and then you remembered the Lord. You remembered how he has already helped you so many different times in your life, so many times where it's just like, there's no possible way. There's a certain amount of money needed and the date is here and there's not even a close, it's not even going to happen. And God provided miraculously and you praise the Lord and you're so excited and you said, I'll never forget. I'll always remember. God, I'm right there. Oh, Lord, thank you. But time goes on and we need to be renewed and remembering again. But might you remember right now, a way that God demonstrated his faithfulness to you. An answer to prayer when you were again at that place as Jonah. When you said, I'm finished. I can't take it anymore. I quit. I'm spent. It's over. I'm panicking. I'm overwhelmed. And God came in and he rescued you. I know he's done that. And I know he's done it on many occasions in our lives as we've walked with him. Also notice in verse 7, if you would, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. His prayer resulted in worship. His prayer resulted in worship. Many times our prayer results in an answer to the prayer, and we grab onto that answer, but does it lead us to worship? In other words, God, first and foremost, I just want to stop right now and I just want to thank you. You are glorious. You are wonderful. You are mighty. You are powerful. I just want to worship you. Yes, I will enjoy and rejoice over the answer to prayer. But Lord, it's you I want to worship right now. It's you. Maybe the old sin nature right now is winning the battle in your life. Maybe that sinful nature that we have is saying, you can handle the situation. I can handle that situation. I know it's tough, but I can handle it. we can't handle it. He can handle it. He wants to handle it. And he'll let us go overboard. Remember, you're in the hands of God, John 10. So even though you think you're going overboard, you're in his hands. He's got big hands. The Bible doesn't say this, but a song says he's got the whole world in his hands. That's our God. It's not some pagan deity. I'll read Psalm 142. Just think of this, Psalm 142. I cried to the Lord with my voice to the Lord. I will make my supplications. I poured out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path and which way that I should walk. They have secretly set a snare for me. Look at my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord, and I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of this prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. Again, the blessings of Psalms in the heart of our prophet. I mentioned there are seven things. I spoke of five of them. His deliverance. God hears the prayer. He understands that God created a difficult situation. He rescues him. He remembered him in distress. But the sixth says Jonah responded with thanksgiving. Notice verse 8. Those who regard worthless idols. Now, in other translations, it may say lying vanities, empty soap bubbles. Those who regard worthless idols, we read out of the New King James Version, lying vanities, forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Thanksgiving, first by recognizing the emptiness of earthly pursuits. If that's all that you're doing is pursuing the things of this world, it is empty. We should be diligent in every task that God gives us, in home, out of the home, wherever we're at, that our life is a life of diligence as unto the Lord. But our pursuit in life is our hunger and thirst for Jesus. To know him, to be in love with him, and to follow him. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, it says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, they have forsaken the fountain of living waters, and they've hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Jeremiah the prophet is saying, you pursued these containers, that's what you wanted. You pursued them, you got them. And you filled them up, and they got holes in them. They have holes in them, and they just leak. And many times when you finally get what you're hoping for, the position or the possession that you've been wanting, you worked hard for it, set your eyes on it, hope on it, and you move there and you have it, it will never bring fulfillment. It won't bring fulfillment. It won't. It'll be a joy initially in the achievement, and there should be joy, there should be praise, should be thanksgiving. Absolutely. Thank you, Lord. Teach me how to be a good steward over what you provided for me, Lord. Thank you. But it's not going to meet that need in your heart. It's just an idol. It's just empty soap bubbles, as one version says. Thanksgiving. There's a voice of praise again in verse 9. In a determination to offer himself. And here's the transition. What I will do. He will bring his heart before God. You didn't forsake him. Now an idol is anyone or anything that takes priority over God. My question was in studying then, what was Jonah's idol? So in studying this, thinking, well, what was his idol as a prophet? Jonah's idol was Jonah. That was his idol. It was himself. It was his way, and that was it. There was no room for God in a life filled with himself. The smallest package in the world is somebody wrapped up in themselves. God wanted to teach Jonah not to seek the plan, but to seek the planner. God was teaching Jonah that a good leader is a good follower. Anybody that you're following and is in a leadership position, it's important to know, who do they follow? Who are they following? You're following the Lord. You're living for him. And we'll see, lastly, notice again in verse 9 that I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Notice Jonah returns to do the will of God. I will pay what I have vowed. He went down to Joppa. He went down to the dock, inside the boat, fell asleep, down in the water, down in the fish. But he went down, 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 down. But because of prayer, he went up, 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 up. His prayers lifted him up. And isn't it interesting what that meant? In verse 10, the Lord spoke to the fish. Again, he prepared the fish. He's in control of all his creation. He spoke to the fish and vomited Jonah onto the dry land. James 4:17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So Jonah knew what was right. He didn't do it. It is sin. In your own life, you know what is right and you know what God has asked you to do, but you choose not to do it. That is sin. And sin hinders your walk with God and your fellowship with God. Definitely. Psalm 86, verse 11 through 13, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, with my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Jesus speaking in Luke chapter 9, 57 to 62. They were saying, Lord, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you. But first, let me go do this. But first, let me go back to my family. But first, let me do this. When you say, God, I will follow you wherever you go, there's no but. That's it. That's it. When you say but, then that means that doesn't really matter. And Jesus said to him, no one putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No one. What do we do? I say, God, thank you for Jonah. Thank you for this prophet. Thank you for the honesty of what this prophet did and what he went through, how he was chosen and prepared by you, how he was serving you greatly and mightily, but yet how that task before him was one he didn't want to take on. But yet God did that deeper heart preparation. God dealt with rebellion. God dealt with pride. And God dealt with his prophet personally and individually. And God is calling us. If he's dealing with you right now, if you find yourself in that belly of a whale in life, as it illustrated to us, it's a literal truth, but as it's illustrated to us, then tonight, don't wait any longer. Call out to him from the depths of your despair. Call out to him. Don't make text messages or other phone calls. Call out to him. He will answer you. Praise him, saying, God, I have called out to you. I'm going to praise you now, God, because you have heard the prayer. And I'm desperate. I'm desperate to be more in love with you. Amen. As you're seated, I'm going to close in prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you for tonight's Bible study. We thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you're at work. I pray, God, for myself and for each one here and those of our friends listening online. We love all of you, and we pray that we would all experience the love of God, the fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Forgive us, God, for our stubbornness. Thank you that you don't give up on us. Thank you that you are there right now for us. And maybe even this message is keeping someone from doing some desperate marriage, something desperate that would be regrettable. God, you've stopped that right now, and you've intervened right now. And God, we want to just surrender to you. You know what's best for us. And I pray, God, for anyone that you're away from God right now spiritually. You are that Jonah right now, or you've never come to faith in Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I would ask that you would open your heart up and say, Father, I ask for your forgiveness. I've sinned against you, and I am repenting of my sin, and I accept Jesus, the gift of eternal life, right now. In his name I pray, amen. And those that are watching online, we just want to wish you a blessed day and evening. Hope you can join us on Sunday morning as we continue in 1 Corinthians. God bless you.